His own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Good morning, anybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together. An adventure called Dave Wilson's part of the Dr. Stanley Monteith Show, or Radio Liberty. We're glad to be with you this morning, and I have to warn you, of course, that the views expressed on this live radio program may or may not be the views of the station that you're listening to, or its sponsors, or anybody else. They're my views, the views of my various and sundry guests, and particularly the views of my very important guest this morning, Dr. Linda Logman. Dr. Logman, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Thank you for getting up so early. At least it would be early for me if I lived out there, which I don't anymore. we're going to talk this morning about what's going on in our nation in terms of the use of drugs. They're becoming more and more pervasive throughout our society. And yesterday we had Dr. Dennis Cuddy on, and he was talking a lot about the master plan of what's going on all over the world, that is educationally, spiritually, and so forth, to get people dumbed down so that biblically they'll be ready to accept this one world leadership that is coming upon us. And the notion of drugs being used so pervasively in our society now is another thread along that same thing, which I believe is a part of the goal of the powers that be to get our people dependent on these things. What are your thoughts about that sort of thing before we get into specifics this morning?
Well, I think, yes, I think the population is being disabled and controlled by psychiatric drugs, and especially children. I mean, and that is something, you know, later we can get into the specifics of how that's being done. But, you know, if you want to disable and control a people, you really go after the children. And that's what's happening with the diagnoses and the drugging. You know, everything from ADHD to oppositional defiant disorder, which is an actual diagnosis, as if, and it includes, you know, questioning authority. That's one of the symptoms. You know, if you hear these things, if you're not informed, and I think a lot of the listeners here are informed about some of this, and so may not be surprised, but you know, talk to the average person in the population and they find it fantastical. Like they have a hard time believing that this is going on, but it actually is. There are diagnoses now calling it a mental disorder to be rebellious, to question authority. And, you know, these kids then are put on, antipsychotic medications, that are controlling and disabling parts of their mind, their brain. So, this is an assault. It's not only actually an assault on the individual mind, which is huge, and soul of the person, but it's an overall assault on the culture, because if you are going to drug your free and creative thinkers, which is what these kids usually are, the ones who are diagnosed ADHD, they're agitated and restless because they're sitting in schools, in course rooms that are mind-numbing. And, you know, I wish I had heard yesterday's program, but, I mean, the educational system has been really perverted. And so you have kids that don't tolerate that. And they're the ones who are getting drugs. What's that?
It's the it's the brightest kids usually that get drugged down so that they won't stand out and lead the other children into the kind of, we'll call it mischief, but it's not really. It's inquisitiveness and things. I look at my grandchildren now, and I see in my young granddaughter who's just entering first grade an incredible amount of inquisitiveness, questioning. She asked me the other day, why don't we teach cursive in school? Or why don't they teach cursive? Because I've been teaching her cursive, just for the fun of it, you know, and she takes great joy in being able to write words in cursive and so forth and things like that. When I went to school, this was a given. And also when I went to school, we had no things such as ADHD and other names for that. What's the name of that great big book that psychologists and psychiatrists have on their desk that keeps getting bigger and bigger each year because they keep honing or adding to the kinds of disorders? What's that called?
Yeah, that's the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And it is completely made up. I just can't emphasize that enough. There is absolutely no science behind it. You know, in a medical, the medical book, what do you call it? The physician's desk reference or something. You have tests that can be done. Somebody's got diabetes. Okay, you test their blood, their insulin level, blood sugar level. But there is nothing. There's not a single lab work, urine analysis, blood work, nothing. But there's medical languages used. You know, things are, it's just a group of behaviors and medical languages used for the sole purpose of marketing drugs.
That's what I was going to say. It seems to me that this is one of those cases where we follow the money and we follow the power, and we come down to a common thread amongst all of these things. I'm seeing so many younger adults now claiming some of these things as to the reason they have not been successful in life. They say, well, I have ADHD. It strikes me, frankly, that perhaps they're lazy or not motivated somehow. Beginning to flow over. If their kids can have it, why can't they have it, you know?
Yeah, well, actually, it's being marketed that way. And ADHD was so financially successful for the pharmaceutical industry that they did, in the most recent Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, that book you're talking about, that, you know, billing Bible, in the most recent version, they broadened the diagnosis, the definition of it, to include adults and, add adolescents and adults, because originally that diagnosis was geared towards younger kids. So they added criteria like symptoms, like frequently loses cell phone. That's one of the symptoms that then gets you diagnosed. This is, you know, adults being diagnosed this way, it's done, and you see TV commercials and everybody starts to look at themselves in this same fashion. So I don't know if a person's lazy. I think one of the most destructive things that's going on in our culture is people are being told that whatever they're struggling with is out of their control.
That's correct. We'll hold that thought to Dr. Linda Lauderman as we come back from this very first break on a Tuesday's edition of Radio Liberty.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
In an elegant New York City mansion, billionaire Michael Bloomberg sleeps safely. A team of armed guards protects Bloomberg. But what about you? Bloomberg doesn't care about your safety. Michael Bloomberg wants to take away your right to self-defense. He's pushing extreme gun control in Congress, and Senator Udall and Barack Obama are helping him do it. Bloomberg spends millions to elect gun control politicians like Udall, and Udall votes for the Bloomberg gun control agenda. What will Bloomberg want next? He wants a ban on popular rifles, restrictions on magazines, new anti-gun Supreme Court justices, requiring federal government permission before you can give a gun to a lifelong friend or family member. Bloomberg wants to take away your rights. He wants to eliminate your freedom. Defend your freedom. Defeat Senator Udall. To learn more about Senator Udall's voting record, log on to NRAPVF.org. The NRA Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by the NRA Political Victory Fund, www.NRAPVF.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
And we're back. My name is Dave Wilson. We're talking with Dr. Linda Lauderman about drug use, drug prescriptive use, and the general condition of our population, where we sit there in the evening and watch our Budweiser commercials, and all of a sudden we're starting to watch advertisements for things that are actually needed to be prescribed by a physician. That always seemed odd to me, Dr. Lugman, that a drug company would advertise on television. I understand the need for it, but it sets in the mind of people, doesn't it, that, oh, maybe a pill would be the answer to the problem I'm facing.
Absolutely. It's very odd, and we are one of two countries that allows that. The only other country is New Zealand, but has direct-to-consumer advertising, where you can have a drug company telling you you've got a disorder and you need their drug. Our Congress approved that in 1997. So these labels, we ended up before the commercial break, it tells people that everything they're struggling with is out of their control, that they are disabled, that they're helpless. And it is part of making people dependent on drugs, because they have been told over and over for decades now that they have a chemical imbalance, that it's genetic, that everything they're struggling with is not something they can do anything about. It's a disorder that needs a medication. So people then don't think to problem solve or to take control of their life and change their condition. If for the past, two decades we had had commercials about, hey, are you depressed? Well, exercise. Go out for a walk. Go for a hike. Exercise is the single best treatment for feeling depressed. But you don't see a commercial about that because it's free. You just go for a walk and look at things and get out of your head. All the labels, like PTSD, let's take a veteran coming back who's kind of jumpy and has trouble sleeping. Naturally, it's like this is a normal reaction. And they get labeled and told you're broken and you have a mental disorder now. And, it's very, very damaging. It's like cursing a person, with a psychiatric diagnosis.
Let me jump in there because I have a so-called combat veteran from Vietnam back in the 60s. I flew airplanes. I was not on the ground. I did not see a lot of blood and gore. But when we came back, we were not submitted to any sort of psychiatric evaluations, although we had probably caused great damage and killed people and didn't give a this sounds terrible, didn't give a lot of thought to it. But we were doing what we were supposed to do. Now, where did the shift come where returning war veterans began to see psychiatric evaluations as a part of their debriefings? Did that happen in Vietnam, or was it just during the Gulf War? Or is it because and I hate to say this, a generation has been raised up that are so self-centered that they feel that the way they feel is got to be because of something else and not my own dealing with the situation.
Well, these things are going on simultaneously. What you're talking about with the military, that is a serious infiltration of the military by psychiatry. And it is, we didn't mention, I'm a commissioner for Citizens Commission on Human Rights. That is, it's the oldest and largest international mental health watchdog that investigates, exposes, corrects human rights abuses in the mental health field. Anything from, you know, putting people in mental institutions for their political beliefs to some of the things now about psychiatric drugs and, you know, CCHR has gotten gotten warning labels so that people are informed. Anyway, CCHR puts out educational documentaries, and the latest one is called The Hidden Enemy. And people can go to the website CCHR.org or CCHRINT.org for the international one. And there are links that can see that documentary for free. And it is about the history of psychiatry in the military, past, you know, to present. And right now, the just massive drugging in the military. And what you're talking about, these psychiatric screenings, right now, as you said, Vietnam, you didn't have to have a psychiatric eval when you were, you know, discharged, separated from the military. But right now, somebody in the military goes through at least 5 psychiatric evaluations coming in, during, exiting. And each one of these is an opportunity for psychiatric drugging. And that is what's happening. From 2005 to 2011, there was a 682% increase in psychiatric drugs in the military. So that's massive. That's a 30 times higher increase in drugging than in the general population, which is already being, you know, targeted, and, you know, more and more people are taking drugs. 30 times higher increase in the military.
Are we trying to get into some kind of Manchurian candidate realm of stuff here with, or are they seeing, and when I say they, I'm not sure exactly who I mean, the powers that be, people in great big pharma or something, are they seeing the military as a huge controlled group that still is under discipline of the military and can't really say no and are easily swayed by those in authority over them to try these drugs and therefore continue on? And also, where did all these psychiatrists and psychologists come from that are in the military now? There weren't any at all in my 10 years of the military. There were dentists and doctors, but there were no psychologists. Your best psychologist was your chief master sergeant or your flight leader.
Right, or the chaplain.
Right, the chaplain, yeah.
The chaplain, that's who you go talk to. Yeah. Well, right, that has been supplanted by psychiatry. So the military psychiatry definitely does look at the military as a test group, a control group. This, 1940, I think it was, actually it does tie in with this kind of world health, what was it called in the 40s? I can't remember the name right now, but it was it's a world psychiatric health thing. The head psychiatrist specifically talked about using the military and how it was a group that they could do experiments unlike they could do in the civilian population, because of exactly what you said. It's a closed group, and they follow orders. So they've been used to experiment on since then. But it's,
And in any number of ways, too, not only in the use of drugs, but in ways that we don't even want to mention, in terms that have probably killed many military people. And the young men and women who are coming now out of service are probably feeling more of what I felt somewhat coming from Vietnam, which was a totally unappreciated war. The people coming in the military now are at least in some ways appreciated, but they have seen the no-win strategy exposed by our politicos. And that's the tough part about all this stuff, Doctor, that if your leaders impose a no-win strategy, you feel frustrated in all that you do. And maybe that's where some of these psychological things are coming to the fore. Now, typically, if a man or woman gets discharged from the military, do they just a bunch of prescriptions that allow them to continue getting these drugs for quite a while?
They do. That's the primary treatment is drugs. There are a lot of things that where the VA is saying, you know, they don't have they don't have enough staff, and the go-to treatment is drugs. It's easy. 15 minutes, you can write a prescription. So that's what's happening generally. But, you're right about struggling with meaning, I think. You know, today's veterans, you know, from Iraq and Afghanistan, there has been a lot more appreciation expressed. But then you have them kind of reevaluating the whole thing. Was this necessary? Was this a good cause?
Right.
And, and that's where I think there's help needed and, needing to find purpose and something where you're contributing something bigger than yourself and, you know, joining with other veterans and making some good.
If I may, the veteran has this feeling of camaraderie and purposefulness and all, and the public is saying, wow, good job, good job. But the vet looks at the public and sees that there has been no sacrifice made at all on the part of the American public towards helping these people other than saying, good boy, here's a high five. Whereas in World War II, we saved toothpaste tubes. We did not have tires for the cars. The ladies didn't have nylons. We had so many cigarettes and so forth and so on. The entire United States population was sacrificing something as a show of support or as a mandatory restriction on the use of goods. We have nothing like that today, and I believe the veterans know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And, again, it kind of goes to the, feelings about the overall purpose of the war and, was it helpful? Was it just? And there are a lot of questions about that I think make it a lot harder to come to terms with the sacrifice that a veteran has made. The answer to this, when somebody is struggling with meaning, the worst thing you can do is drug their mind and make it harder for them to think. Yeah.
Exactly. You drug the mind, and then it just becomes a cloud over you. It used to be back in the olden days when I went to school, we talked about the fight or flee syndrome. You get a little bit of adrenaline, and it would screw up your synapse gaps or something, and so they would say that's the main cause of this depression is you fought when you should have fled or you fled when you should have fought and so forth and so on. But it's gone a long way past that. And now we find that psychiatric drugs are controlling and disabling people. What kind of figures do you have? We're coming up against another break pretty soon, but I'd like to talk about when we come back from the break, the kinds of percentages of the population that are on one kind of a drug or another and are sleeping drugs, for example, or, Zolpidem or Citalopram or some of these other kinds of things, which are seemingly very, very common. Are they as serious as the things we're talking about, or is this exactly what you're talking about. And before the break comes up, ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind you that you're listening to a Tuesday's edition of the Dr. Stanley Monteith radio program. Dr. Stan is still desirous of your prayers for support, for his protection and provision as we've kind of allowed him to step away from the microphone for a while. It's been my very great honor to be able to sit in this chair here and do the program for him. As you know, for the last 25 years or so or more, he's been doing things, and all the people up on the hill overlooking the beautiful Monterey Bay have put together stuff that you can find at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can go there and find videos and great assets for your determining what part of this battle you want to take. Also, you can call 800-544-8927 and ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty resource. So that's 800-544-8927. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Jensen Arms reminds our listeners that as parents, we have a tremendous responsibility to raise and educate our children. This year, make yourself a promise to get more involved with your child's school. When they're not in school, take them to a park, library, or other activity. Remember, the best weapon against delinquency, drugs, and crimes is family time. This message sponsored by Jensen Arms, where they're working proudly with this radio station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms, who say, keep your radio tuned right here.
Minutes past the hour, and we're back with the second half of the Dr. Stanley Monteith radio program, Radio Liberty, if you will. My name is Dave Wilson. We're on the air with Dr. Linda Loggeman, and we're talking about drug use, drug prescriptive use, and is it really necessary here in these United States? And Dr. Loggeman, I forgot to mention, and we need to talk about, since we've been talking about military, and I didn't really mean to get on that subject, but it's one that's dear to my heart, about military suicide. Can you talk about that a little bit so that the people listening might be more informed about the tragedy of that situation?
Yeah, there are, you know, I did mention the big influx of psychiatric drugs in the military, and what's happened, you know, right after that is a huge increase in suicides. So right now there are 22 veterans a day who commit suicide, and one active duty troop commits suicide a day. It's really tragic, and the military keeps looking for the reason why, but they keep looking in the wrong places. They are not looking at the fact that it's the psychiatric drugs that have on the warning label. It is on the black box warning label of the drug itself, because they couldn't, you know, avoid putting it on there any longer, saying that it increases the risk of suicide. Especially, these psychiatric drugs increase the risk of suicide, especially in people 24 years old and younger. And that's the age of a lot of our military.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, and every time, you know, this is the thing. It's like you have something that's such a clear cause and effect. And even, obviously people commit suicide for reasons other than a psychiatric drug, clearly. But clearly some of these suicides are caused by the drug. And the FDA knows this. The drug companies know it. The criteria to even get a black box warning from the FDA, the criteria are that you have to show causation. They don't put it on there because of something supposed. That is shown, cause and effect. The drug causes that condition, and it goes on a black box warning to inform people. Now, God only knows why it's not taken off of the market, since they know it causes suicide. But at least there's a warning label on there, and it's up to people to take that warning label seriously.
There's a huge disparity between the military and civilian populations in terms of suicide in our society, right?
Well, it's interesting. The military historically had a lower suicide rate than the civilian population. And, you know, people studied that and thought maybe it's the camaraderie you were mentioning before, having a strong purpose. These are things that made them less likely to commit suicide, even though they were in war and away from family and all kinds of hardships, even if they hadn't seen combat. So that's the history of the military, was a lower suicide rate than the general population, and now it has surpassed. The suicide rate in the military, I think it was from 2002 to 2012, it doubled. And I think that was the right, yeah. The statistics on the suicide rate, it's actually probably more close to around the time the psychiatric drugs came in earnest, which is the big increase I told you about. Because suicide in the military, from the numbers I have from 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, actually all the way to, 2005, they were all very similar. It was the same rate. It stayed pretty constant. And then 2005, 6, 7, 8, you know, and going up, you start seeing it climb, until there were more suicides than deaths by combat. And then, of course, you know, now it's past the civilian population. So
is there anything that... Is there anything that a person can reasonably do? I mean, we're battling big pharma here, and the amount of dollars in federal expenditure for these drugs has got to be in the mega billions to satisfy the lust for drugs that the military has for itself. What can anybody do other than what we're doing right now, right here, exposing this to an audience that perhaps already knows about it, but maybe not also?
Well, I think the biggest thing is exposing it. You know, CCHR is taking all angles. I mean, CCHR does a lot of exposing, a lot of education, but then also are working with Congress. That's how these warning labels got on there, so the people at least had a chance at getting some information. So I still think it's important to try working with, policy, even though I know there's a lot of, hopelessness about that, among a lot of people, just because of how, rigged the system is. But it is possible to get individual pieces of legislation passed that can help. And like I said, CCHR has been able to do that, and have an effect. So, but mostly for listeners, I think it is about spreading the word, because ultimately it's on the ground. It's the families, it's individuals stopping taking these drugs. And I just want to put a note in here. I don't mean like abruptly stop if some listener is on a psychiatric drug, because they are serious drugs, and the withdrawal phase is another time when there are serious adverse effects. Reactions. If somebody goes off it too abruptly, that also increases suicidality and actually homicidality, violence. So,
mention again, CCHR.org. I brought it up on the computer as we were talking here. There's Citizens Commission on Human Rights. It's a watchdog investigating exposing psychiatric human rights violations. It's a good place to go. I haven't been there before, but ladies and gentlemen, it looks like it has the answers to a lot of the questions that we may have brought up for you this morning. And if this has particularly piqued your interest because you have relatives who are ex-military, or because you may be ex-military yourself in the Denver Metroplex, go to CCHR.org or CCHRINT.org for the international part of it, and see what you can see there. There's all kinds of things being mentioned. Now, there's tons of information
because CCHR, like I said, since it's the oldest. So 1969, it was founded, and it has been on the front line of these issues. It's also taken a lot of heat and attack for that. Obviously, pharmaceutical industry was aware of, the threat of CCHR, early on, because it was doing what it's doing. It's exposing. But anyway, yeah. Let's move on.
That's not what they want to have happen. As with anything in this world that we find ourselves today, Linda, if I may, we see so many things happening to dumb down the population, to take away the fact-based issues of our world or politics. There's people don't care about facts. In the church, it's spirituality, not facts of the Bible. But we'll be back and talk about some more interesting things with Dr. Linda Laughlin as we return from this break on a Tuesday edition.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve.
Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Grace Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault, on the air because they care.
Hi, everybody. We're back for the last quarter hour on this Tuesday morning with Dr. Linda Lauderman. And Dr. Lauderman, let's move away from the military aspects of our conversation and talk a little bit more about what's going on in the general non-military thing who sit there and watch these ads for depression and so forth and get Xanax or Citalopram or some of these other kinds of things. Are these the drugs that we're talking about generally provided?
Well, those are some of them. And the ones you're bringing up, like Xanax, those for anti-anxiety, Xanax, Ativan, Valium, there was a study on that, no small-scale study. This was about 9,000 subjects that they looked at. This was done in Quebec, and it was a long-term study, and they found that there was a Alzheimer's was 51% more common in people who had taken these benzodiazepines. That's the category of drug, the Xanax, Ativan, Valium, that kind of thing, in the past. So these drugs, the anti-anxiety, what I was have said, you know, before, psychiatric drugs, all of them, disable parts of the brain. That is the mechanism. They all disable parts of the brain. So just off the top, that can't be good. But the anti-anxiety drugs, they decrease memory, they decrease cognitive skills, you know, thinking abilities. And the this study, this 9,000 subjects in Quebec, this is pretty serious finding. I mean, think of that, 51% more. The people with Alzheimer's were 51% more common in people who took benzodiazepines in the past, even 6 years prior to diagnosis. That's as far back as they looked. So,
And that's not very long in terms of that, you know, I mean, it's not like they started it back in their teen years and been taking it all along. It's just when they became perhaps senior adults or something. What about things like Zolpidem or sleeping aids? Are they thrown in this basket also?
Sleeping aids are also have similar, you know, there's probably going to be different ones that are used for sleep. It's right now, there's such a mix and match going on with psychiatric drugs that some people are given a drug as a sleeping aid or told it's a sleeping aid when it's actually an antipsychotic. So it's hard to separate out. You know, the antipsychotics like Zyprexa, Seroquel, that Seroquel is given to veterans often for sleep, to help with sleep. Seroquel is a very dangerous antipsychotic. And an antipsychotic means it was originally meant for a very small market for people, you know, hearing voices and having those kind of more severe experiences.
Right.
But, you know, across the board, like the drugging that's going on and the damage is, it really is hitting all sectors of society. Pregnant women, right now, you know, you had asked earlier about numbers of people on things. 14% of pregnant women now, 14% of all pregnant women are on an antidepressant. And they're told it's safe. Pregnant women are told, actually they're told that if they're experiencing any depression, that that is a risk and that they are more likely to give birth prematurely. That is how these antidepressants have been marketed to pregnant women. The fact is, there were three separate, very large meta-analyses published. Meta-analysis means it's a study of a bunch of studies. So they look at everything that's been published and they study that. Three different ones, independent ones, showed that actually women on antidepressants are more likely to give birth prematurely, and there are birth defects, of course. You know, congenital heart defects and some lung problems because it affects So it does go through to the fetus, and these are affecting neurochemistry that is related to all facets of development, you know, the heart.
Well, you would think that would be a logical, obvious thing to obstetricians and pediatric guys and gals who are working with these pregnant ladies and their unborn babies. And I mean, if a baby is being formed by the hand of God.
I know. Yeah, you would. I know. I'm completely with you on this. And I think it's a testament to how brainwashed we've become by the TV commercials, including the doctors and the pediatricians and the OBGYNs. They're watching the same commercials we are. In fact, they're getting it worse because they have pharmaceutical reps that are coming and filling them with false information. Because
that's the next question I had. How much guilt is should be put on the backs of our OBGYN people, our GPs, our internists, and all like that, who have a whole cupboard in their office of all this kind of stuff, and they'll say, here, let me give you a sample of this or that, you know?
Yeah.
How much study have they done about what they're giving you so easily?
Well, they actually haven't, and this is where this whole system has, is set up and is corrupt. It's psychiatrists who are paid by the pharmaceutical industry that serve as the expert, and they do continuing education, or they talk to the general practitioners, the OBGYNs, the pediatricians, and the pediatricians and all the general doctors listen to the psychiatrist expert tell them about, you know, what do you do if somebody says, oh, they're feeling blue, or what if their kid is acting up. So your general doctors, physicians, are listening to the psychiatrist experts who are paid off with, you know, a lot of money. But you're right. 83% of psychiatric drugs are now prescribed by general practitioners, doctors other than psychiatrists. So it's like a misinformation, false information campaign. And now the general doctors are doing the bidding of the pharmaceutical industry and the psychiatric industry, because they actually are the front line where people come in. Most people don't want to be a psychiatrist.
The appointment is so short that the doctor must be getting to feel, well, here's a pill that can take care of that, rather than an extra 5 minutes of my poking and prodding your body or asking you a question or something like that. It's really scary. We'll be back with Dr. Linda Lauderman after this last break on Tuesday at 2:52. Don't you go away.
Should a natural...
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Walker Manufacturing Company reminds listeners that many accidents are a result of drivers on their cell phones. Cell phone usage while driving is quickly becoming a serious problem on our roadways. Whether you're talking or texting, cell phone use is a major distraction. That's from Walker Manufacturing Company at 5925 East Harmony in Fort Collins. In the business world, there are certain companies that stand out and attain a position of leadership and trust, whose community expertise and years of servicing the community has given them their fine reputation. Call 970-221-5614, Walker Manufacturing Company.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hello again. The last few minutes of our program this morning, I'd like to ask Dr. Lugerman to kind of sum up what we've been talking about and maybe give us a challenge as to what we can do. Those of us who have looked at this before understand what you're saying, but a lot of people may be hearing this for the first time, Doctor. So would you kind of explain what we could do about it, if anything?
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's not, we definitely can do things. That's the thing. I don't want people to be left in like a feeling of hopelessness. So one thing I would go back to is going to the website, especially cchrint.org. There is tons of information there. You will find more information about these issues at that website than anywhere else. It's kind of, it's got everything combined. And then all of the DVDs, educational information is there. It's, you know, all of the documentaries, by the way, are multi-award winning. So that's one. Inform others. Even like have screenings or something or do things at the PTA. Make a point of telling your school and your school board that you don't want any mental health screening done of your children. There's actually on the website, there's a form that parents can download and sign and give to the school that says they refuse, they don't give permission for any kind of mental health screening of their children. Because that's another way the pharmaceutical industry and psychiatry gets in there. They do these screenings and then they say, oh, your kid needs this drug. There, you know, as I said, I think multi-approach, even though I know some people are apathetic about the political process, but on the cchrint.org website, there's also a petition calling for a congressional investigation into psychiatric drugs and suicide and sudden death among veterans. And that's, you know, I think that can happen. You know, not...
All good things to do, and Josh, we're at the end of our hour. I certainly have enjoyed our conversation this morning, and I hope that we can do it again at some point in time when maybe we'll have seen a little bit of an advance in our society against these kinds of things. Dr. Linda Lugerman, thank you very much for being with us, and I'll say good morning right now. So long.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Liberty or the Dr. Stanley Monteith program has been going on, perhaps not on this station, but on lots of stations all across America for, 20 years or more now. And Dr. Stan and all the folks up at the headquarters, if you will, have tirelessly been putting together things that will help you figure out what part of this battle you want. Now, maybe... drugs and things like that are not where you're at. Maybe that's of no interest to you. You have to be apprised of that. But you're really into maybe treatment of our veterans, or maybe you're really interested into the notion that there is a shadow government in our world, or there are people who would have us look at eugenics as a form of operational theory here in these United States, or all kinds of different things. Anyway, my point is, I want you to call 800-544.